best day for watching that movie. I'm the leader, Molly. Wow, I'm the leader. Wow, I'm the leader. Oh, I'm the leader. Molly.
And we're back, folks. Episode number 243, is it? Must be. Chatting McBain, folks. That's right. The Simpsons, McBain. Who's going to be talking? Christopher Walken is Bobby McBain. Or is it the cadence on the other? Bobby McBain. McBain. Oh, boy. What a movie do we have for you tonight? It is amazing. 1991's James Glickenhouse. There's the name for it. Glickenhouse film McBain.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And deep thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide. Who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina, in the Milky Way, and of course, Dan the Man from Birmingham. All on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor to tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast, I'm going to be chatting about this as Christopher Walken does the action film thing with a bit of Vietnam, a little bit of Puerto Rico, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that in this here podcast. Now, come on, Nemo Cowbell. Oh boy, oh boy. We are brought here tonight by, of course, fbnet.podbean.com. Did I say that right? Probably not. fbnet.podbean.com. Of course, by, of course, Phantom Podcast Network. That is, of course, from co-owners Kyle Wagner and, of course, Kevin the Brainerd Ronson. One day I'll get that even longer. Yes, Kevin the Radio Nerd Ride, so of course, is going to be here in Australia very, very soon. So we might just do an episode of this here show, chatting with Kevin while he's here in this here notes. Might look at one of the movies that was done here. It'll be The Phantom, maybe Fortress, which we've covered before. But, you know, we're always open to covering them again here, of course, on the Lethal Mullet Podcast, because we love them, folks. There's even been call for the Alienation episode with Adam Harris to go ahead again and air. So that will be going out as a special soon again to celebrate Alienation, folks. Great series, which rumored to have a reboot out there very, very soon, a TV series reboot, which I'm not surprised. It's a great concept and something that Galen Hurd put together really, really well, and great movie too. Jim McCann and friends, you know, with San Francisco. All those great characters all in amongst it. But, tonight we're going to be heading into this great little movie, 1991, McBain. You can catch this show and many others like it at fpnet.podbean.com. That's fpnet.podbean.com. And Phantom Podcast Network, where you can catch not only this show, but, of course, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast, Culture Clash, with Kyle and Kevin looking at the pop culture that's out there, folks. Pretty much it. You can also look at the great Waypodge, What a Piece of Junk of Star Wars podcast with Scotty and Derek. You can also look at, of course, Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast. Who do you ask? Who would run that show? Who? There's, of course, Dan Hadley, all the way from Brummy. Now, he also co-hosts a show with me here on this here show, and that is, of course, the one, the only. Now, we, of course, Deep Thought. And Deep Thought is a very, very good little show because it tells you all about Vogons. And, of course, a little book that might help you navigate the galaxies. That's, of course, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Deep Thought and, of course, the life of Douglas Adams are celebrated on that show with me and, of course, yes, Dan Hadley. And we chat about all that is to that amazing series. And, of course, it's got ties to Doctor Who. It's got ties to everything because it is my second favourite fandom out there, of course, outside of the Dune universe, which we do cover with, of course, the amazing Scotty Bowman, who, of course, is mentor to my, well, my swordmaster at Gittaz that I am. That is, of course, on, of course, the Mullet Guild, the Dune fan podcast that we have here. That'll be coming back very soon with a look at Dune 2, Dune Part 2, that is, not to be confused with the computer game, which came out many years ago. Yes, and Scott's going to enjoy going through that with me. We're going to look at what they did to change the film. Now, obviously, there's a special bonus episode that went out about a week ago, which covers a little bit of that. And you can enjoy a look at, of course, what the Leo Mullet thought of that. But in the Mullet Guild, we'll be getting down to the nooks and the crannies of what Denis Villeneuve did to that movie. What did you do, Denis? Well, you see, I did this. And that's what we'll be talking about on that show. And, of course, you've got much, much more now. In terms of the Lethal Mullet, the coming episodes that we do have are going to be looking at Keanu Reeves action films. Now, this is something that a few of you listeners wanted us to look at a little while ago, and it was when we were doing the, of course, look at John Wick 1 and 2. We will look at John Wick 3 at a later date, and even The Continental we looked at as a TV series as well, which I hear that a certain member of the John Wick community of actors did not like too much and didn't like the idea of why didn't they put me in the movie, yeah? Or was it a TV show? What the hell? They didn't even talk about it, yeah? Well, yeah. Yes. Who is it? Well, you'll have to watch many interviews on YouTube to find that one, but I won't say it until we do an episode looking at John Wick again. But what I will say is this. We have an episode looking at Speed. Yes, of course, the amazing movie Speed, which is basically Die Hard on a bus with Jeff Daniels and, of course, Keanu Reeves, man, dude. Whoa, on a bus going 60 miles an hour, man. Where's the 50? Goes over 50, the bomb goes out, man. Dude. No, it goes under. Then the bomb goes out, man. My God, dude. And then we're looking at, of course, him and Morgan Freeman in Chain Reaction, which is kind of a forgotten late 90s action film, which I quite enjoyed when it came out. It was a bit of a VHS hit. Certainly wasn't massive at the cinemas, but, you know. Well, dude, look, I just got to actually act with, you know, Keanu Reeves, man, and Morgan Freeman, and oh, hang on, I am Keanu Reeves, man. Like, Morgan Freeman's like the greatest actor in the world, man. He even played God. But also, of course, Keanu then did another film a few years later, which was kind of like The Last Samurai. Of course, we're talking about 47 Ronin with the amazing Hiroyuki Sanada and, of course, an amazing Tadanobu Asano, which you can see both of those actors minus Keanu Reeves in, of course, a number of films since. And, of course, one of them being Mortal Kombat. The other film, of course, being... it's not a film. But the other film, of course, being Shogun. And, of course, this being number episodes, I should say. What am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying. But what I'll say is the, of course, great new show on FX has the two of them in that series. And, of course, Tadanobu Asano has been a fantastic actor over the years, doing some really interesting stuff. Of course, one of the best ones is when he played, of course, Genghis Khan, or Genghis Khan, as we say, in Mongol. If you haven't seen Mongol, you have to. It is an amazing film, breathtakingly shot, really sets up, of course, you know, the Mongols in the way that they live, the way that they're obviously nomadic, and the battles in it too are brutal. It really is Braveheart style done. Like, it's a massive production. And Tadanobu did an amazing job on that film. Of course, he's done work in the Marvel Universe, working as the Heroes 3 in that, and of course played a character in that first three movies of the Thor universe. So he's out here in Australia when they did Ragnarok, and I do remember seeing Tad in somewhere in Surfers Paradise, and yeah, he waved when I said hello. So there you go, Tadanobu Asano, and you know, his work is just amazing. Great musician too, from what I hear. He's got a rocking band in Tokyo, from what I remember. So amazing artist, and obviously only done an amazing job with, of course, on the other side of that booth, of course, Hiroyuki Sanada, which, what a career. I mean, Hiroyuki Sanada is one of those actors that hasn't just done action films. And obviously he's, you know, being in the Japanese film community, obviously he's done a lot of Jidai Geki drama films, you know, and obviously Chambara, which are the sword fighting films, and obviously Samurai. But doing these period films, obviously, he's one of the best ones. So he got picked, obviously, for, you know, The Last Samurai. If you've ever seen Twilight Samurai, you should. It's a fantastic film. Again, he's in that. He's also in Danny Boyle's Sunshine. He's done quite a bit of in the international market over the years. I do believe he's in Bullet Train as well, if I remember right. But what I enjoyed him in was, of course, his earlier years working with Sonny Chiba. The late great Sonny Chiba in a number of ninja and samurai films in his youth. And again, that's somebody we will be covering as well very soon with G.I. Samurai and The Bodyguard. You know, a character which, you know, we've covered years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I covered a series of films which he'd done, because I went to a place, Wow Sight and Sound in Brisbane at the time, which gave us this amazing pack, three packs of films, and we got Golgo 13, Street Fighter's Revenge, and I think the other one was Bullet Train. It was called Bullet Train, but basically it was what Speed was actually influenced from. It was this story that, you know, again, there's a bomb on a train. It was like the bomb on the bus idea, but on a train. So it's basically Die Hard in the 70s in Japan, and you get, of course, you know, Sonny Chiba is the hero of that film. You know, he's the guy putting to kind of a little bit like the taking of Pelham 123, kind of on the, you know, the Gensha, the bullet train. So there you go. One of those amazing, huge things. And that's definitely one of the things we're going to look at with the 47 Ronin is, as somebody who's watched one of the originals now, may I say there's a number of 47 Ronin films, not just one. But there was one done with Sonny Chiba many years ago, where he plays a drunken spear fighter. And it is probably the best of the 47 Ronin. It's even better than the new one. Well played out. It's beautifully shot. It's not a little small film. And I've got to be honest, even for me, who loves Jidai Geki drama, it took me a little bit of time to actually get through it. But, you know, I had a nice little scotch and a nice little hot meal. And I got through it. And not only to get through it, I enjoyed it. It was beautifully done. It took its time, but when it got to the final battle in the streets of the village, it was formidable and absolutely gorgeous. So these are the many things you can see in some of these great ones. But we're going to be looking at 47 Ronin. It's a little bit more mythic. There's some fantasy chucked in there too. And again, we'll talk about why Tadanobu Asano and Hiroyuki Sanada, some of the greats from Japan. And to them, I say, arigato gozaimashita. All right, folks, we're going to chat about McBain. Now, before we get into the movie, let's chat about a different McBain. Now, 1991 gave us McBain, all right? And I think there's no doubt there's been some play on that. But what is McBain in the world of The Simpsons, right? Yeah, you obviously have heard about McBain. Come on, do it, come on. It's got this voice like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ice to see you. This is one of the things that even in the wiki that says after bringing out an ice sculpture, he says, ice to see you. So what is McBain in that universe? Well, McBain is basically an action movies hero. He's a character in movies, a little bit like John McClane, right? For what Bruce Willis did with the Die Hard series. And in the Simpsons universe, he's played by an actor within the TV show. Again, is another character called Rainier Wolfcastle, which is basically a play on Schwarzenegger. So here it's quite clear. It says exactly what it is. It's, you know, it's got a character's got the height and the build of Schwarzenegger, and obviously that accent. A little bit more like Clint Eastwood because he's carrying those huge handguns with it wherever he goes. And he's got the smart-ass sort of remarks and everything like that too. obviously, McBain follows the ideas of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and stuff like that more than any of the others. And it's got all the cliches, all that, you know, the guns that he's got never run out of ammo. You know, obviously, there's huge collateral damage in a lot of the stuff that he does. And, of course, the cheesy one-liners there as well. It's just part and parcel of what this is too. The series of films, there's seven films in that universe, and ending with McBain 6, the final chapter. In fact, the one more and still want calling McBain 7 hasn't happened to that stage. And his bad guy nemesis in that series is Senator Mendoza. Again, usually it's a fictional leader of a fictional country somewhere out there too that doesn't exist. And a lot of this is very, very close to what Schwarzenegger did in Commando. So when you see in Commando, obviously John Matrix is going up against a country called Valverde, where there's no Valverde country out there at all. And I do believe they did the same in Expendables when obviously the Expendables team is trying to get out and find all these guys as well. Again, it's, you know, not so to pigeonhole it down to a real country and obviously not to cause drama when they're trying to get these you know, films made, I guess, too, you know. So McBain character itself is, you know, your usual hodgepodge when it comes to the story. His parents were murdered and he basically gets brought up by a special agent by the name of Dexter Scully and basically built him up into what he is today. He's a former cop and stumbled onto the evidence of Mendoza, who was a respected senator, and, of course, the leader of a drug cartel. See, this shit just writes itself. And, of course, from here we have the action movies that pick up afterwards, and it's pretty funny. And you can see, obviously, too, the spelling is deliberately changed. And, you know, again, it's a play on two things. In 1988, there's a movie called Bulletproof where the character was called Frank McBain. And, of course, that was played by Gary Busey. And McBain was spelled B-A-I-N, just like M-C-B-A-I-N, I should say. And it just like in 1991, too, the real life a film called McBain, and of course Walken and Ironside were in it, but again it's the same sort of idea as well too. So when you look at it, even though it's you know, yes, it's looking at, you know, different part of it, it still goes to that too. So there's a movie with Chris Walken. It's called June Part 2. It has to be Emperor Spice. Needs a little bit more spice. That's right, folks. You can see him in the current June Part 2, which really is all one film, isn't it? June. Fantastic. And yes, we talk your ears off on that one in the last special episode, folks, which we're going to look at another time. All right, McBain 1991, action war movie, which has little bits of Vietnam and, of course, the Latin American countries as well in this. And, of course, it is written and directed by James Glickenhouse. Go into in a little bit, starring, of course, Christopher Walken and Michael Ironside. It also has, of course, one of the greats, Maria Conchita Alonso, in this one, who is in every action movie in the 80s, pretty much. And, of course, some others, which we'll go into, and one of my favorites, the late great Steve James. So what's it about? It's about a character called Santos who attempts to lead a revolt in Colombia to take out El Presidente. And, of course, the Colombian president in this is one of the characters that they don't like. They don't like him too much. El Presidente. They didn't even say his name in the film. And, of course, the revolt fails and he's killed. Now, his sister, played by Maria Conchita Alonso, Cristina, goes to New York to find McBain. And McBain is a lieutenant that Santos rescued during the Vietnam War. McBain, of course, agrees to help because he wants to give back. And recruits all these old war buddies that are still alive. raising some cash by killing a few drug dealers, and then leads an all-out attack to topple, of course, El Presidente, played by Victor Argo. You only have to Google Victor Argo, and you've seen this guy in a number of films, folks, as bad guy, mainly. The cast, we've got Christopher Walken playing Bobby McBain as Frank Bruce. What a name. That's a movie name. Yeah? We have General Katana. That's right. As Sean Connery says, General Katana, and Richter, and many other roles. Michael Ironside. I mean, what a cast to have Michael Ironside and Chris Walken in the same movie with Steve James from American Ninja playing Eastland. We've also got Maria Conchita Alonso playing Christina Santos, Victor Argo playing El Presidente, Thomas G. Waits playing Gil, Chick Venara playing Roberto Santos, of course, one of the leads in this, Jay Patterson as Dalton, Forrest Compton as President Flynn, and, of course, one of my favorites, Louis Guzman's in this as Papo. Hey, Louis, I do hey, Papo. And, of course, Dick Boccacelli as John Gambotti. I mean, this is just, it writes itself, this film. I mean, you're going to talk about it being one of those forgotten movies. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't at the same time. If people who remember the name of Bane, you really do remember it, don't you? You know, it's one of those things. So we've got James Glickenhouse at the top of this. And, of course, he's written and directed this movie. So let's have a look at his background first, folks. Let's have a look at what he's been up to. And of course, interesting that, you know, that he does a movie like this. Now, Glickenhouse wrote, directed, and produced a number of movies back in the 80s and 90s, one of them being The Exterminator, which you might remember. It was a bit of a B-movie, if I remember right. The Exterminator was one which, you know, you could see around. I mean, Steve James was in that movie too, by the way. And again, it was kind of like a Punisher kind of thing. And he also did The Protector, which is Jackie Chan's first crack at, you know, the market after, of course, that first one, which we've talked about before, the big brawl, okay? So that's just one of those things. This is what he's going to put together. He's also a huge collector of racing cars, Ferraris in particular. So he's got a bit of a huge collection of those. Movie career, you know, he's done quite a few. We'll talk about his movies now quickly and see if we remember any of them. The Astrologer, The Exterminator, we'll talk about The Soldier in 82, The Protector, Maniac Cop, he was a producer on. Shakedown, oh, we know that one. That's actually named something quite different. And we've talked about that one before with Cover the Radar Nerd, Reitzel, Blue Jean Cop, Frankenhooker, Basket Case 2, McBain, folks, McBain, Time Master, Bad Biology, The Art Thief, Ring of Steel, Tough and Deadly, Slaughter of the Innocents, and Basket Case 3, Progeny. Wow. Yeah, it's out there. But, I mean, you know, we're talking about McBain here. Kind of knew that was going to happen there too. So we've also got, obviously, produced by J. Boyce Harmon Jr. We've talked about the cast. Cinematography by Robert M. Baldwin. It's another Baldwin, folks, another Baldwin. Edited by Jeffrey Wolfe. Of course, music by Christopher Frank. And it was distributed by Shapiro Glickenhouse Entertainment and produced by. Came out in September 20, 1991, and it was a bit of a hit on VHS, particularly here in Australia. On a budget of $16 million, it only made $450,000 back at the box office. So a bit of a box office bomb, unfortunately. The production was something that was announced in 1990 under its original title. Now, this was called McBain's Seven. It's a kind of, I think, a little bit of a take on Seven Samurai and, of course, The Magnificent Seven. You go back to a Kurosawa, is it Shichirin or Samurai Desu? And, of course, it was announced that the film would go into a 62-day cycle under its shorter name, McBain. And, of course, they had many different studios wanting to buy into it and committing to the budget and making where it was. And, yeah, film took in less than $500,000 at the box office. But, and, of course, it came out in 1992, MCA Universal Cassette in Canada and America, and all elsewhere too. McBain's been on Blu-ray from newly restored 2K print on transfer, which you can get. Now, the guys at Riff Tracks released a video on demand version of the movie in January 25, 2013. And, of course, they do their mockumentary-style commentary with, of course, Mystery Science Theater 3000 as well. And that's got Mike Nelson, Kevin Murphy, and Bill Corbett. Now, I don't mind riff tracks. I think that some of it's funny. I mean, some of it's just, again, they're riffing as they watch the movie. Comedy-wise, you know, I'm more into people that plan what they're going to do, plan what they say. And that's why some of it's funny, some of it's hit or miss. There's some great action in this movie. Obviously, we've got an opening in the Vietnam War. We get to see, again, Christopher Walken going back to what he did in, of course, you know, you get back to pretty much what he was doing in The Deer Hunter. You know, he's a soldier in that too, and get that sort of environment. But I think, you know, again, this is more of a action movie and less realistic. You know, it's you know, whatever works. We have, obviously, Santos then jumping forward in time to the 1980s or 90s, whatever it is, and we have them also fighting Presidente Victor Argo, who, again, looks great in that outfit. Kind of looks like, you know, very much that stoic Napoleonic figure, you know, and plays the bad guy quite well, I think, you know, this too. Walken, you know, is this sort of flamboyant but still very serious character in this, which I always got mixed up with his other one, The Dogs of War, which he did with, was it Tom Berenger years ago in the 1980 or something like that. You can find that one in amongst the MGM classics. If you get onto, of course, Prime, and on Prime you can find that one in the MGM submissions in that area too. Again, Prime owns those and they're part of that line too. So great to see that happening. But this film's a better film than that, and I think with Maria Conchita Alonso going on the sort of the search, it is Magnificent Seven all over again, but with Vietnam veterans and stuff like that. Michael Ironside is in this. You know, you get to see him firing off an M60 in this. It's great. There's some great stuff by the swamp sort of area you get to see fighting. But again, you get to see them fighting in, you know, the actual country and stuff like that too, trying to take on El Presidente for the rebels that are there too. All right, so let's look a little bit more on the facts and tribulations of this. And, of course, Christopher Walken is going to let you know what we've got trivial ways right here about now. Come on, let me know what's happening with locations, with Jimmy Clickenhouse, the soldier. You know what I'm talking about. All right, here we go. So trivia. We've got some trivia for you. We've got some bloopers. We've got some quotes. And we've also got some other stuff too. One of the big reviews here too is quite interesting. This is on IMDb. It said, if you enjoyed The Exterminator, you'll love McBain. I love that. I mean, what's wrong with that? That really names is quite down pat, doesn't it? So this was actually shot in the Philippines, believe it or not. It kind of makes sense. And production companies there too were Marble Hall and Shapiro Glickenhouse Entertainment. All right, so we have some great stuff here too. Soundtrack has Brother in Arms written by Mark Knopfler, sung by Ann Caulfield. There you go. Mark Knopfler. Oh, geez, I think I know where band he's from. Hey, what do you reckon, mate? And by the way, just for coincidence, there's a big Simpsons sign when you look on IMDb, by the way, folks, so you can check that out. All right, so let's have a go. Although the Simpsons character takes the name and predates McBain for this film. Well, there you go. I didn't know that. Well, the Simpsons 89. The Simpsons were first to drop the character's name for a number of years due to difficulties created with the release of an action film called McBain as well, which ties into the character of McBain. So, I mean, who knows how they got that name first then from and why it comes from that. Film shot in the Philippines, not actually in Colombia, as the film says as well. Ironside has been outspoken in his low opinion of the finished product and of writer-director James Clickenhouse. Well, you know, he's been in some of the greatest action films ever made, so I'm going to give it to him. The scenes shot all around New York City were, in fact, real locations such as the drug house, the hospital, this is where Dalton works, the Brooklyn Bridge, where McBain first meets Santos' sister, and the Hudson River, where they do the fishing scene. Everything involving Colombia was shot entirely in the Philippines. Rift, of course, we've talked about by Mystery Science Theatre. The scene where we see Louis Guzman's character mentioned to Christopher Walken and his crew about John Gambotti. This was a reference to real-life Gambino crime boss John Gotti, who was in fact being indicted at the time in New York. In the following scene, Walken and crew do a kidnapper character, similar to Gotti, and extort money from him to finance, obviously, the Columbia trip and the weaponry that they're going to need. The picture in the American box office in the USA made less than $500,000. This led to the movie getting a straight-to-home video release predominantly around the world. And that's, of course, what happened in Australia. But having said that, it got huge play everywhere. So it was actually really well done. Titles considered in the movie was McBain's War and McBain 7. Oh, God, thank God they didn't do those. It was the debut of Karen Duffy, final theatrical film of Marshall Thompson. Okay. Movie went straight to video. Yes, we know that. And the movie's closing credits state, special thanks to the officers and men of the Philippine Air Force, Army, Navy, and the Philippine Constabulary. A deepest appreciation to the armed forces of the Philippines, etc. And obviously this means that they had a lot of help from the military over there getting things done. The nickname of Robert McBain, Christopher Walken, was Bobby. Hey, Bobby, what can you do for me? Give me some guns, Bobby. Come on, do it. Chris Walken, who plays the title character, later played another character with the Mac prefix, Lieutenant Macduff, in Scotland, PA in 2001. The picture was actually premiered in the 20th anniversary of McBain. Playing the character called Robert McBain, actor Chris Walken had recently played a character, the first name of Robert, in Paul Schrader's Comfort of Strangers in 1990, just the previous year. Earlier in his career, Walken played Robert Fulmer in Paul Mazursky's Next Stop Greenwich Village. Walken also played a character called Bobby Kahn in Wayne's World 2. So very, very interesting indeed with those ones. All right, so let's have a look at some of the other stuff we're going to find in here. Of course, those being, and this is the great thing about their site, is there's some really, really interesting parts that pop up here and there. So connections. Okay, this is to do with the movie itself and connections with others. Riff tracks, they said the three hosts are dubbed over the original movie. Blast them up. The making of McBain has clips and footage you'll find here. This is all featuring that you'll have. There's a TV episode, Bad Movie Beatdown, The Riddle. That's one's in there as well. Also The Specialist and The Cinema Snob, Bad Movie Cinema Snob McBain. These are all TV episodes that were done in 2010, which you can find out there as well. So with that too, we're going to have a quick look at some of the different goofs in this film. There's usually a few, some of these action films. All right, so let's have a look at some of the factual errors. General Epper wears the insignia of the General of the Army, a ceremonial rank which was last awarded to Omar Bradley prior to the Korean War. Anachronisms, this is one here where it says, during the opening sequence in Vietnam, Santos is carrying a Barrett 50 BMG rifle. Barrett firearms wasn't found until 82, 9 years after the forces left. Interesting that. I think that was just one of those gaffes that they do with, you know, getting a brand new rifle and trying to chuck it in there too. One of the quotes is from Christina. And it says, the Berlin Wall came down in 2 weeks. I know it can be done. So we're going to now look at guns in film, something that, of course, Kevin Reitzel loves on this here show because he likes saying, guns, guns, guns. Everybody got guns. Let's see if we can find it. McBain the movie, guns. So a lot of what you're going to find on the internet, unfortunately, is, it's literally McBain, the character that Gary Busey plays in Bulletproof. but not the character that we're after. We're after, of course, Bobby McBain. Come on, Bobby. Show me. Where are you now, Bobby? And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be much. There's an M16 in the hands of McBain, some Uzis, maybe a Beretta, and a Barrett 50 cal, but that's about all I can tell you for now. Yes, the real weapon of the movie is Steve James, the great, amazing martial artist, the late, great Stephen James. What an absolute legend. All right, folks, that was, of course, our look at McBain today. 5 stars out of 5, of course, in the Lethal Mullet's Hallenbeck scale, right? And then you go out and you find that movie, yeah? We'll catch you next time, of course, on Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.